The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 11, Text Number 17, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on May 9th, 2007, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 11, Svayambhuva Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, Text Number 17.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Namitta matrang tatrasin,
nirguna purusharshabha,
vyakta vyaktam
idam
vishvam,
yatra brahmati lohavat.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. My dear Dhruva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is uncontaminated by the material modes of nature. He is the remote cause of the creation of this material cosmic manifestation. When He gives the impetus, many other causes and effects are produced, and thus the whole universe moves. Just as iron moves by the integrated force of a magnet. Purport. How the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead works within this material world is explained in this verse. Everything is happening by the energy of the Supreme Lord. The atheistic philosophers who do not agree to accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the original cause of creation think that the material world moves by the action and reaction of different material elements. A simple example of the interaction of elements occurs when we mix soda and acid and the movement of effervescence is produced. But one cannot produce life by such interaction of chemicals. And there are 8,400,000 different species of life with different wishes and different actions. How the material force is working cannot be explained just on the basis of chemical reaction. A suitable example in this connection is that of the potter and the potter's wheel. The potter's wheel rotates, and several varieties of earthen pots come out. There are many causes for the earthen pots, but the original cause is the potter who sets a force on the wheel. That force comes by His superintendence. The same idea is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Behind all material action and reaction, there is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna says that everything depends on His energy, and yet He is not everywhere. The pot is produced under certain conditions of actions and reactions of material energy, but the potter is not in the pot. In a similar way, the material creation is set up by the Lord, but He remains aloof. As stated in the Vedas, He simply glanced over it and the agitation of matter immediately began. In Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that the Lord impregnates the material energy with the part and parcel jivas, and thus the different forms and different activities immediately ensue. Because of the different desires and karmic activities of the jiva soul, different types of bodies and different species are produced. In Darwin's theory, there is no acceptance of the living entity's spirit soul, and therefore his explanation of evolution is incomplete. Varieties of phenomena occurred within this universe on account of the actions and reactions of the three material modes. But the original creator of the cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is mentioned here as Nimitta Matram, the remote cause. He simply pushes the wheel with his energy. According to Mayavadi philosophers, the Supreme Brahman has transformed himself into many varieties of forms, but that is not the fact. He is always transcendental to the actions and reactions of the material gunas, although he is the cause of all causes. Lord Brahma says, therefore, in the Brahma Samhita 5.1, Ishvaraha Padamaha Krishnaha Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. There are many causes and effects, but the original cause is Sri Krishna. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadhaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Laita Sri Vishakanvitamscha. So, it is being made very clear here in this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the origin of the universe? It is a very common philosophy nowadays to deny the existence of God. To say that everything is just happening by chance. But I ask you to consider, is that a very intelligent philosophy? Just like here, we have this nice temple room. The pieces of wood are very nicely placed. There's nice carving here. Nice curtains with little decorative things sewn onto them. So many nice features are here. Now, if I were to tell you that the way we constructed this temple room was this, we simply placed a stack of wood and some curtains and various materials in a pile. And then we threw a stick of dynamite into that pile of materials. And this is how it came out. Is that a very intelligent philosophy? Would you believe me if I told you then? That this carving was done by a stick of dynamite. Does anyone here think that sounds like a very logical idea? Would anybody here accept it if I told them that? No, of course not. It's absolutely ridiculous. But yet the whole world is accepting these rascal scientists, and this is exactly what they're saying. That there was some molecular soup, and it got zapped by some lightning. And there was some reactions and mutations, and gradually everything came. Simply by a chance combination, chance in interaction of material element. There was no person behind it. There was no intelligence behind it. Simply by chance. Actually, one scientist, he got the Nobel Prize just for saying that everything happens by chance. So we can ask them, you're in the university now, you're trying to earn your PhD degree. Because you want to be recognized as a big, big scientist. So, if everything is happening by chance, why do you have to study in the university? Why are you making some conscious program to studying in the university? So this idea that everything is happening by chance is ridiculous. And it is confirmed here that there is another explanation. And that is sarva karana karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. You can trace back that line of causality. It's not difficult. It is not difficult to understand this principle. Just like here is the table. What is the cause of the table? The cause of the table was some table maker. And what was the cause of the table maker? That was his father. Who was caused by his father. So you simply go back until you come to the original father. Who has no father. And that is God. They want to deny the existence of God. Because they want to be free to engage in sinful activities without guilt. They want that they shall not be under any laws of a higher authority. The scientists want to establish themselves as the higher authority. But yet we see, even though they are trying to do that, they are still being dragged down to death. Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiyal yamalayam sheshashtavaram ichchami kim ascharyamataha param. At every moment, countless numbers of living beings are being dragged to the court of Yamaraj. But those who are still here, they think that they will become the masters of this material nature.
Bet tie, kurie vis dar gyvena čia, jie galvoja, kad jie bus valdovai šitos materialios.
They think that they will conquer over death by scientific advancement.
Jie įsivaizduoja, kad jie nugalės mirtį su savo moksliniais išradimais.
But the reality is they will never conquer over them.
Bet realybė yra tokia, kad jie niekada nelaimi.
Know it sure and certain that death will conquer them. Mrityu sarvaharash chaham. Krishna says, I am all devouring death.
Krishna sako, aš esu visarijanti mirtis.
So, you know, everyone bows down to God.
Jūs žinote, kad visi lenkiasi Dievui.
You cannot avoid bowing down to God.
Jūs neišvengsite to nusilenkimo Dievui.
The devotee, he voluntarily bows down to God. And the non-devotee, he also offers his
dandavats.
When he dies, he drops down dead, you see. So, how do you want to offer your obeisances to the Lord? Do you want to offer them feelingly with love? Do you want to be forced to offer your obeisances in a state of fear, the time of death? You have your choice. If you offer with love to Krishna your obeisances, then you will achieve his eternal abode. And if you want to defy his existence, then you will be dragged to the court of Yamaraj to be punished for your sinful activities and to be given your next assignment in the cycle of birth and death, according to your consciousness, as a worm, as a svinya, a pig, you will get the suitable body. So one has to consider, would I rather have eternity, knowledge, and bliss, or temporality, illusion, and misery? It's a very simple choice. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss, or temporality, illusion, and misery? It's a very scientific thing, actually. Just like you go to the airport, you can either fly to this place or to that place. You have your choice. The scientists want to deny that there is this choice. Shishi Radhadamara ki jai, Shishi Nitai Gora Chandra ki jai. The scientists say that if you talk about a choice, then you are brainwashed by a religious cult. If you talk about a choice of going to this place or that place, then you have been brainwashed by a religious cult.
Mokslininkai sako, jeigu jūs galvojate, kad turite pasirinkimą ir galite vykti į šitą vietą arba į šitą vietą, tai jums yra praplauti smegenis kažkokios tai religinės sektos.
They say you have no choice. You can only go to one place. And they say we are big, big, broad-minded scientists.
Ir jie sako, kad jie yra labai tokio plataus mąstymo mokslininkai.
But if they're so broad-minded, why are they restricting that you can only go to this material world at the time of death?
Bet jeigu jie tokie plačiai mąstantys, tai kodėl jie apriboja jūs ir sako, kad jūs galite eiti gyventi tik tais materialų pasaulyje?
Actually, the scientists are asleep.
Iš tikrųjų, mokslininkai jie yra užmigę.
Just like some of you are now sleeping. You see, the scientists are asleep. They do not realize there is another place beyond this material existence. Those who have actually heard from the Vedic wisdom, with submission and attention, gain practical scientific knowledge of that transcendental existence. Therefore, when you come to the Bhagavatam class, you should be very, very attentive. Because the Bhagavatam says, by attentively hearing this, you will fully realize Krishna within your heart. So we take the time and trouble to come to the class. And we should also, now that we are here, take the time and trouble to hear very attentively. To get the maximum result from these transcendental sound vibrations. So we can actually understand there is a cause of all causes. We can actually understand these scientists do not know what they are talking about. So we can actually understand that they are simply speculators. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes.
Prieš keletą tekstų atgal Prabhupada buvo minėjęs, kad žmonės, ypač impresionistai, mokslininkai, neigia, kad yra Dievas. Jie neigdami taip tą šitą filosofiją, kad Dievas yra, jie paneigia, kad iš tikrųjų Dievas yra, kaip tai suprantu.
Few verses back, impersonalists and atheists, they deny existence of God, and it's explained that by denying it, actually they're confirming that there is God. How to understand it?
You're saying that by denying God, they're confirming God? Yes, that is a fact. Sarvashataham sridhi sannavishto matak smatir jhanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, if they want to deny my existence, I give them the intelligence how to do that.
Krishna sako, kad jeigu kažkas nori paneigti mano buvimą, aš suteikiu jiems intelektą, kad jie tai galėtų padaryti.
These Mayavadis and these scientists have incredibly intricate pseudo-intellectual explanations of how there is no God or God is formless.
Šitie Mayavadžiai ir mokslininkai, jie turi tokį pseudo-intelektą labai gyvų, kad jie galėtų sugalvoti, kaip paneigti, kad nėra Dievo.
Where did Charles Darwin get the potency to write such an elaborate denial of God's existence?
iš kur tas Čarlzas Darvinas įgavo tokias galimybės aprašyti taip, kad paneigtų Dievą.
From Krishna.
Iš Krishnas.
So even Charles Darwin's evolutionary theory is, proves the existence of God.
Taigi netgi Čarlzo Darvino visa ta evoliucija įrodo, kad Dievas yra.
Next question.
God is completely perfect, but can he perfect even more himself?
God is perfect, and can he become more perfect?
Can he perfect himself?
Of course.
Žinoma, jis gali tobulėti.
Actually, Krishna is perfect.
Iš tikrųjų, Krishna yra tobulas.
But that perfection is not static, it is dynamic.
Bet tas tobulumas nėra statinis, jis yra dinamiškas.
That means he is ever becoming more and more perfect.
Tai reiškia, kad jis kiekvieną kartą jis tampa vis labiau.
And his devotees, his pure devotees also are becoming ever more perfect.
Ir jų atsidavusieji taip pat vis labiau ir labiau tobulėja.
In this way there is no boredom in the spiritual world.
Tokiu būdu nėra nuobodumo dvasiniam pasaulyje.
Just imagine if you heard the perfect song, that if just every single note was perfect.
Įsivaizduok, kad tu girdėjai dainą labai tobulą, nuostabią, kurioje kiekviena nata yra viskas tiesiog tobulą.
And then that song was made even more perfect, more beautiful.
Ir ta daina yra padaroma dar tobulesnė.
It was enhanced and to become even more beautiful and more perfect.
Ir dar labiau taip sukurta, kad dar geriau skambėtų.
So in this way, the perfect qualities of Krishna become ever more and more and more perfect.
Taigi, tobulas Krishna savybės kiekvieną kartą tampa jos dar tobulesnės, labiau ir labiau.
And if you fully surrender to Krishna,
ir jeigu jūs pilnai atsiduosite Krishnai,
you will also become ever more perfect.
Jūs taip pat tapsite vis labiau ir labiau tobulu.
So you would like to do that?
Ar norite tai padaryti?
You're not sure? Well, I hope I can convince you to do that. That will be my perfection. If I can convince you to become perfect. Next question.
Can you explain more deeply the moment of death? How soul meets the Yamadutas? How long it takes? And I believe
actually, it's a very horrible experience when the Yamadutas come.
Iš tikrųjų, tai yra labai baisi patirtis, jeigu pas jūs ateina Yamadutai.
They come with subtle ropes.
Jie ateina su tokiomis subtiliomis virvėmis.
And they take a noose and they grab the subtle body of the jiva.
Jie suriša subtilų jivos kūną.
Even though he is very, very attached to his material body. The gross material body. They rip it out by the subtle body out by force. A living being will pass stool and urine simultaneously in great anxiety of the horrible experience. And then they take you on a little trip.
Ten viskas reiškia ir išmatos ir šlapimas bėga ir ištraukiama jinai yra ir tada prasideda kelionė.
To the court of Yamaraj.
Jam
It is not exactly a pleasurable vacation. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many hellish things in that abode. You are given so many varieties of punishments. For example, those who engage in illicit sex, they face a very severe punishment. And our householders should know that simply being initiated doesn't mean they won't have to be punished for illicit sex. Those who engage in illicit sex, they have to embrace the red-hot iron form of the opposite sex.
Tie, kurie užsiminė neleistinais lytiniais santykiais, jiems reikės apkabinti priešingos lyties atstovą kaip įkaitintą metalą raudoną.
The lusty man, he has to embrace the red-hot iron form of a woman.
Geismingas vyras turės apkabinti raudonai įkaitusią metalinę moterį.
He is in great pain just touching it. It's burning him like anything, and he has to hold on very tightly to it, even though it's burning him with severe pain. If he was in his gross body, he would die and it would all be finished. But because it's happening in his subtle body, he doesn't die. He has to keep suffering the pain. There's also a hell for those who eat unoffered food. You know that hell? Krimi Bhojana? Do you know Sanskrit a little bit? Who's our Sanskrit scholar? Bhojana, we all know Bhojana. Eating. But who knows what Krimi means in Sanskrit? You know? Krimi means worms. So Krimi Bhojana means a planet where it's simply worms who eat worms. For people who do eat unoffered food, they go to a planet called Krimi Bhojana where they become a worm in a lake full of worms. And these worms, they are all cannibals. When it's time for lunch, you eat your brother. Your brother worm. It's the worm ashram, you see. And the worms eat the worms. You either eat or you're eaten. That's all. So there's so many different hells one has to suffer. And the suffering seems to go on for all of eternity. Each suffering seems to go on without any end. It's horrible. But it's also described in Prabhupada's books how one immediately enters into the next womb and gets another gross body.
Perina į kitas išės ir gauna kitą kūną.
So the question is, well, how you can spend so much time in hell and at the same time immediately you get your next gross body? Do any of our Brahmins know the learned Brahmins know the answer to this? No? Yes.
Time is calculated.
Time is
calculated. It's just different time.
Yeah, that's right. Harikatha Prabhu is rightly understood, and that's right. Time is differently calculated in different dimensions. What is it, from our perspective, can be even a split second in the court of Yamaraj. Is experienced by the sinful person as millions and millions of years. We even have a slight experience of this ourselves, and when we dream at night, you can have a horrible nightmare that seems to go on forever. But it actually just takes place in a brief second. So the best thing is to, if you want to know about these things, is the best thing is to learn by hearing, rather than by personal experience. You should take complete shelter of Guru and Krishna. And this way you will not see the Yamadutas at the time of death. Actually, I have sometimes talked with people who saw the Yamadutas. They were on the verge of death, and they saw these horrible creatures approaching them. But somehow they were saved at the last minute and they didn't leave their body. They were able to, it happened to us. There was one person, my wife and I were cultivating, making her a devotee. And she was in the hospital. They gave her some medicine. That medicine was an injection. It caused her an allergic reaction. Which her tongue swelled up very big and she was choking on her own tongue. Vishnu Priya Manaji was chanting, yelling the names of God into her ear. And I ran to get some medical personnel to counteract the first injection. While Vishnu Priya Manaji was chanting the holy names in her ear, the medical people came and they gave a second injection to counteract the first one, and she was saved from choking on her tongue. And she reported to us how she had seen these horrible creatures approaching her.
Ir tada jinai papasakojo, kad matė
Luckily, she did not leave her body at that time, because she would have gone to Yamaloka. By good fortune, by Krishna's grace, she did not leave her body at that time. So we should not think the Yamadutas are simply some make-believe story to scare us into being good devotees.
Taigi mes neturime galvoti, kad šitie jamadutai labai gražios išgalvotos istorijos, kad mūsų išgazdintų ir kad mes būtume geriai atsidavę.
They are very real.
Jie yra labai realūs.
And they're very busy.
Iš tikrųjų, jie labai užsijomi.
They're very busy right here in Kaunas every day.
Kiekvieną dieną, netgi čia Kaune.
So many people are dying here in Kaunas. And the Yamadutas are regularly coming here to Kaunas to take people to Yamaraj. So make sure you're not in one of their you're not one of their. Not one of their clients, you know. Make sure that you become visited by the Vishnu Dutas. So, any other questions?
In the world, there are mainly two traditions for performing rituals after the death of the person. In the Vedic tradition, they used to burn the body, and in the other tradition,
burning, cremation.
Yeah. In the other tradition, they just try to maintain a dead body, or sometimes even they just to maintain them, just sometimes making that they would not deteriorate the body.
Preserve the body,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, what is it helpful, and how is the best way? What happens?
Yes, and there's a third option also, which is the option of the Parsis. They throw the dead bodies to the vultures, so the vultures can eat them. Vultures? Those big birds, carnivorous birds. Actually, the system of burial is a very bad system. Because the living being, he's very attached to his body. And if the body is still there, he will stay around his body too, because he's attached to it. If you go to a graveyard late at night, in midnight time, you can feel there are so many ghosts in the graveyard. Because they cannot give up their attachment for the bones, their bones that are there in the coffin.
Kadangi jie negali dar atmesti to prisirišimo prie savo kaulų, kurie yra karste.
So the best thing is to cremate the body.
Tai geriausias dalykas yra kremuoti kūną.
And throw the ashes in the Ganges or the Jamuna.
Ir išmesti pelenus į Gangą arba Jamuną.
Because then if the departed soul has any attachment for the body, What will he do? He'll have to go to the Ganges and try to find his ashes scattered throughout the Ganges River. Plus, it's very impractical. We see in large cities like New York City. Where the space is so limited for people to live. Why maintain big graveyards? It doesn't make sense. It takes up so much land. They could use that land for growing food. Therefore, the best thing is you cremate the body. Any other questions?
Dėl kokios priežasties egzistuoja rojinės planetos ir pragarai? What is the reason for existing heavenly and hellish planets?
Yes. In the material world, there are hellish planets and heavenly planets.
Materialiam pasaulyje taip yra ir rojinės ir pragarinės planetos.
The heavenly planets reward you for pious activities. And the hellish planets are for rewarding, are for punishing you for your sinful activities. It's like even in an ordinary city, there are neighborhoods which are very nice where the rich people live. And there are very run-down poor neighborhoods where the poor people live. According to your income, you can live in a nicer or a poorer neighborhood.
Ir pagal savo įplaukas jūs atitinkamai galite gyventi arba tame turtingame, prabangiame rajone, arba tame skurdžiame.
So similarly, within the universe, you can live, according to your karma, you can live in the heavenly planets or the hellish planet.
Ir atitinkamai šioje visatoje, pagal jūsų karma, jūs gyvenate rojinėse arba pragarinėse planetose.
Or if you're middle class, you can live in the earthly planet.
Jeigu jūs esate vidutinės klasės, tai jūs gyvenate tokie planetoje kaip Žemė.
This earthly plane is the best plane for becoming Krishna conscious.
Planet.
This earthly plane, this dimension here, the earthly plane.
Šitas žemės išmatavimas.
It is the best atmosphere for becoming Krishna conscious. There's not too much enjoyment and there's not too much suffering. You have enough enjoyment to where you have some peace of mind to study higher philosophy. And you have enough suffering to make you sober to realize this material world is a place of suffering. So that now that you're situated in the best of all possible places in this material world for spiritual perfection,
situacija tam, kad galėtumėte dvasiškai tobulėti.
Make your life perfect by taking complete shelter of Guru and Krishna.
Padarykite savo gyvenimą visiškai tobulų, priimdami prieglobstį pas Guru ir Krishna.
So we will stop here.
Taigi mes čia sustosim.
Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.